Jason,
can I ask of you?
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Yeah. This has been the best segment I've ever done on this show, and I've really done very little.
Okay. Molly said it best. I said fart in the bathtub. She said gross.
I love Matt Hamilton.
You are 1,000,000% right, Jim. That should be a drop, too.
Thank you.
Dynamite drop in, my guy.
Thank you.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
That is Jason Wilde's theme music. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Matt Hamilton, who took off another article of Olympic clothing.
We got a haircut, Jason.
Looks like a baby.
He does look like a baby. Primetime Wars shine behind the glass. Molly Brown at the zoo, and Matt and I are in the Everlight Solar Studio. Jason, how are you doing today?
I saw the haircut. You look amazing.
Wow. Right? Thank you.
I saw it in a video. I don't know about this removing articles of clothing. You want to fill me in?
Yeah, so Molly, who I am mad at right now, told me yesterday, since this is our last show during the Olympics, I should wear my full closing ceremonies outfit into the studios. So, like, that includes the jacket.
It's an awesome idea, by the way.
A great idea. And honestly, if Jim would have said it, I might have been like, I don't know, Jim. It's a little hot. I'm not going to do it. Molly said it. I'm like, anything for you, best friend. And here we are. Molly's like, oh, yeah, by the way, you know, I've got some stuff up here at the zoo. Some animals need feeding or something. And
animals need feeding.
Yeah, basically. Yes. I can't imagine what else it could be. So, yeah, I wore all my whole gear. So, slowly, I lost a hat. I had my whole, like, puffy winter jacket on. I've got this sweater. Like, sweater's next. Nice. But, yeah, it is a good
sorry. Yeah, well, I guess sweater's better than pants. Can you go down to shoes and socks before sweater?
I think it would be more fun if I ended up having to take the shoes off, lose the pants, and put the shoes back on.
Your pants are staying on.
Yeah, how far can we go between now and 6 p.m.
Ryan, no more
is
breaks.
Is there an official issue? Is there an official issue like bikini briefs that that all the athletes wear? We know about all the action that happens in the village, so yeah. I'm assuming
were there Olympic branded condoms? You know,
no, not really.
Oh, okay.
Bart. Jason,
they're all gold.
Jim really wants you to stay on until the top of the hour so we can combine the breaks and we can lose one of those breaks in there. I'm sure it would help him
out. You did this to yourself.
Yeah,
we're not taking any more breaks.
I got a hard out at 4:41.
Jason,
me too.
There was, and we're all kind of annoyed by this, and I get it. It's how things work, but. Obviously, maybe you've seen, maybe you haven't, that Wisconsin got a basically public funding bill passed for basically $15 million a year that will go towards paying down their debt, Wisconsin Athletics, and fixing their facilities, but basically allows them to take the money that they would have spent on that to bring it to NIL.
It's like, here's $15 million for your left pocket. You can use $15 million from your right pocket to pay players.
So I guess first question I have is, this is obviously taxpayer dollars funding Badger Athletics. You're a Badger alum, but how do you feel about, because currently the Green Bay Packers currently are not getting direct funds from state taxpayers. So how do you feel about a university getting money from the state, which 32 other states have done, to help fund their NIL efforts?
Yeah, I have not. I saw the State Journal did an editorial. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. I know Jim Polzine wrote something as well. I'm a little behind on my reading, but I don't care. Well, 32 other states, right? Like that's the whataboutism I'm not a huge fan of.
Right.
I would also argue that as much as football is the front doorstep of your university, as Donna Shalala used to say, I think there's a lot of other things that probably on campus they could use some funding for. And it's not in the athletic department, but at the same time, like, you know, they are searching for ways to deliver on the most uninspiring rallying cry I've ever come across in sports: close the gap. And so I I get it. And if it's an avenue available to you and you can spin it as, well, no, we're going to use this money for facilities. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Well, I don't have to use it then for this other money. I don't have to use for facilities. I can reallocated. I get it. But yeah, there's something about it that doesn't feel right. Isn't that the way you kind of start feeling? And then, you know, you can kind of convince yourself one way or the other, but it just feels. And by the way, the Packers love to say, well, we don't use public funding anymore, but they obviously got the stadium redevelopment done in 2001. And they have an avenue to get people to basically donate instead of using taxpayer dollars with their stock sale. Like, I don't know, maybe the Badgers shouldn't, you know, they kind of bungled the whole selling a brick thing. Maybe they should have gone with shares instead, and maybe they could raise some NIL money that way.
Yeah, Jason, what really gets me is the end of the article. Mac, like, basically threatens the Olympic sports, I imagine, like, wrestling and some of those other ones, swimming. And that just, it seems very in poor taste to even bring those up when you're like, yeah, we need to do this, otherwise these sports aren't totally safe.
Yeah, and he, I'll be honest with you, I haven't read it, but when you say that, that hits me, you know, like a dagger to the chest. Mm-hmm. Because, well, obviously I cover the Packers now and have now for 30 seasons. For most of my early career, including even after I started covering the Packers at the State Journal, I would say through McCarthy was already the coach and I was still doing this. So it had to be at least through 07, 08. I covered everything and I loved it, right? I mean, I love my job. I love to write. I love to tell stories. So I covered men's and women's soccer. I covered crew. I wrote crew stories. I wrote track and field cross country stories. I wrote women's tennis stories. And all of those things are, those athletes work their asses off to succeed. And while they may not be, I always would argue this, and my editor at the State Journal, Greg Sprout, was incredibly supportive of this. But, I mean, that's where I cut my teeth while I was still a student at UW writing for the Capital Times. I covered all that stuff. I was famously driving back to the Madison Newspapers building on Fish Hatchery Road when I drove past the police car that had a car pulled over off of Winger Way. It turned out to be Brent Moss when his arrest occurred. And I drove right past the biggest news story going at that time. Not because I was on my way back from a Wisconsin win over Washington State in the women's NCAA soccer tournament. My point is that those sports mean a lot to me. You know, I have a couple of young female athletes, one that I don't expect either of them to necessarily make to Madison as athletes, maybe as students, but I got one that's a cross country runner and a track and field athlete. I got another one who plays soccer and volleyball. I know volleyball's become a revenue generator at the UW, but it wasn't when I was covering the team. And those all matter. And those all matter to the entirety of the university. So, you know, I don't mean to be preachy, but like, yeah, have your football team get its you know what together.
Right.
And I understand that's a lot of pressure for them to be able to fund these other sports. But, you know, and I would have never played. Let me be very clear. I was not good enough to play at the Division I level. But they got rid of baseball the year before I arrived on campus. And I know my roommate, who was our best pitcher in high school, and I were going to give it a shot to walk on, which we just thought it would be cool to try, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they cut that. I think they cut fencing and they cut gymnastics. And I hope they never do that again. And again, I don't have anything against Mac. I know Tausch and him are very good friends, and they play together. But I also have friends that still are connected to the track program. And the fact that they managed to build a facility without contemplating its impact on a world-class track and field operation is incredible to me and embarrassing, frankly. So, you know, and I will read that story for myself, but I wouldn't think you'd be misrepresenting it. Matt, that concerns me that would be used as some sort of cudgel to say, hey, we need this money, not for football, but so we can fund these other sports.
Mm. Yep. Jason, something else that doesn't feel quite right for the Packers is Rich Bisaccia leaving nearly 40 days after the Packers season came to an end.
38
Were you
days.
Surprised by this?
Why does everybody hate the 38 days thing?
You were just so adamant about it on the show the other day. 38 days!
It was a bit. Like, this is why I don't try to be funny.
Oh, no, I'm just keeping the bit going.
Tausch, I know, but Tausch feeds it through the ChatGPT, and one of the criticisms that gets spit out is it was too repetitive.
Oh, Chet. Oh.
Was that it was repetitive.
Jason, that's I have a good don't authority, worry. And I don't know if we have the exact same content, boss, that we can all ignore the repetitive feedback from ChatGPT because it's wrong.
Beep, boop, bop, bop, beep.
Anyway, it was 38 days. Thank you for keeping it alive. And what that tells me, and again, I don't know this, and look, I don't want to waste more of your time because we really need to get to the strip show that is Matt Hamilton's closing ceremony.
We don't need
ensemble.
To. We're good.
Well, says the woman some of us far away. Now, I'm right here. Jeez.
Exactly. In fairness, I'm pushing for it, and I don't have the YouTube page open right now. But
well, we're about
my
to be kicked
is,
off,
is
so
that,
perfect.
Like, I'm very frustrated. Yeah, this is not OnlyFans. This is YouTube. But my frustration is not for me. It is for fans. And the fact that Matt LaFleur hasn't talked now since his end-of-season press conference the day after the loss. He got an extension. The staff has changed. I don't understand. Once you've signed a contract with Jonathan Gannon or Stamp, Thief Kiss, their linebackers coach, or promoted Luke Getsy, or all this other stuff, these dudes should all be doing press conferences. So in the absence of that, people are guessing, right? Like, I got so many people saying, thank God, finally, LaFleur grew a pair and got rid of Bisaccia. Well, did he? Because I don't think, if you're going to push somebody out, why the hell would you do it after 38 days?
Yeah.
You would do it right away. Mm-hmm. So you have more options for a replacement. So, again, I don't know the specifics of why this played out the way it did, but the bottom line to me anyway is that they had no intention of moving on from him. And he made this decision. Now, could there have been forces at play that made him want to move on? Sure, right? Absolutely, that's possible. But again, I hate not being able to answer questions. And I hate having to guess or theorize. And that's what I'm having to do here.
With Bisaccia, obviously there was so much talk about what he means to the actual culture of the team. And I was listening to a podcast yesterday with Max Crosby, and it was taped before yesterday, so this was before Bisaccia was let go. And multiple times during the podcast, Crosby referenced how Bisaccia was like the guy who got him on the right track and the guy that knew how to speak to him to make him a leader and how to lead and how to be the culture guy that apparently Max is for the Raiders. But it was just curious that just completely happenstance happened to hear it, and this was before Bisaccia was fired. There was a former player of his singing his praises. So
he wasn't fired.
Or, I'm sorry. Before he resigned. But regardless, so he's gone. And what kind of effect could that have on the locker room?
Yeah, it's a great question, and one of the questions I want to ask Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst. You guys both touted how important he is to your culture. So now what? Who fills that void? In what ways was he valuable to your culture? And who fills that void? Because, look, let's be truthful. They have players that are good players. They have good players who are good people. But I don't know. They don't have a lot of, like, I think, let's be fair to Jordan Love, right? He's not Aaron Rodgers. He's not a dynamic personality. But, again, I bet from a one-on-one perspective with his teammates, I'm very confident that his teammates really love him. Right, but there's a lot of different things that go into culture, right? It's you have to have an ass kicker too, right? And I don't know who that is. Maybe it's, I think it's Tucker Kraft at times. But look, I if you talk to players, and I understand, I'm not here to be a stan for Rich Bisaccia, but for so many people that were so against him, I can just assure you that players loved him. And Max Crosby backs that up.
Jason, what is bothering me the most about the whole situation is whether this was Rich Bisaccia on his own or if there was pressure from some people within Lambeau. Like you said, this is 38 days late. Like, we are left with the bottom of the barrel. We went from the highest paid special teams coordinator. And granted, whether however you feel about him, he was the highest paid special teams coordinator in the league. And now we're left with the scraps of the league that nobody's picked up. And it feels like the Packers are left in a deeper hole than they needed to be. And it seems like a lack of leadership.
Again, if Bisaccia caught them by surprise to some degree, right, we can't criticize the Packers for that necessarily. You know, somebody said that he thought he had heard that Bisaccia wants to go back to college ball and be around college players.
And it took him 38 days to figure that out.
Right. I mean, again, these are all questions. And, you know, I thought I had a really good relationship with Rich. And I've reached out to him, and I haven't heard from him. Even if it's off the record, you know, not for a quotation, I just want him to explain what the hell happened. Because you're right. You know, because in his statement, he says he took, you know, after weeks of reflection, how did things change? Because, again, 2 weeks ago this past Wednesday, so going on 3 weeks ago now, Goody gets up there, and he did not talk in any way as if Rich Bisaccia was contemplating leaving, that he had any idea about that. Now we can respond by saying, well, yeah, and he also said, you know, Aaron Jones would absolutely be back. That's a little different. Like, he had control over that and chose to go a different direction with his lowball offer. I don't think he knew this was coming, because I don't think he would have talked about special teams a little differently, I think. So, again, not knowing why, but I would say this, and Matt, I don't know your trajectory to becoming a gold medalist, but at some point you were an unproven curler, right? I'm sure you were great in the youth program and everything else, but like, if at some point in your career arc, I'm stuck with the bottom of the barrel, I gotta get this long-haired freaky guy. I mean, maybe you didn't have long hair back then, I don't know, and you don't have long hair now anymore. But like, you know, I'm stuck. Well, I think that's not a Tesla song, Long-Haired Freaky People. That's a very old hair rock. But my point is that you became a
my
stud.
Favorite genre.
You became a gold medalist.
Book of Macintosh. You know,
my point is that at some point, maybe someone will look at you and said, well, what are we doing with this young guy? Like, and the Packers could wind up with a much less expensive, not that it matters, and an up-and-comer with new, fresh ideas, and who just has been waiting for an opportunity, and maybe things actually get better, right?
Yeah.
That is possible, but to your point, when you have all these candidates, I mean, I think there's been 12 now special teams coordinators hired throughout the league. I mean, those are 12 guys that probably would have been qualified for this job that you never even got to talk to because you didn't know you were going to have an opening.
Yeah, Jason, you actually make a good point, because my gold medal winning team was the bottom of the barrel players. They picked 10 players to be on the high performance program, and I was not one of them, and I was one of those bottom of the barrel picks. So hopefully the Packers can find their Matt Hamilton and win a gold medal.
This is what
football.
You needed? Okay, perfect.
Oh my God, what a great line.
He had a
somebody
good
segment. Turned that into a hotkey.
Yeah.
The Packers need their Matt Hamilton. God, this is amazing.
If they could hire me just as a culture guy,
yeah.
I should be their culture
guy. He was waving his arms, going crazy. Like, I got one more thing for Jason. And it was just self-serving to give Matt Hamilton some Matt Hamilton love.
It fit the moment.
All right.
Okay, I'm going to miss you next week.
Start taking your clothes off now.
Oh, God. Zip it, Jason. Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Put your shirt back on, Matt Hamilton. Before we go to break.
It's a dingy white t-shirt, too.
No, it's not. It's underneath. It's a clean white t-shirt. It is
Savage.
White. But it's a clean
a little
one.
Dingy.
It's not. I promise.
Okay.
I don't know.
I knew I might
we'll
take this
next.
Off, so I wore it for you, Molly. This whole outfit was for you, Molly.
Let her live.
Good
she can have
God.
The person who has the most reasons to work from home is Molly.
Yeah, well, she's a man
the
child
with
that
the
work
least.
That she's got to take care of, too.
You're
and
the person
I feel
that
neglected.
Has the least amount of complaints about.
You're my 10th kid. It's fine.
I know. I've been feeling neglected lately. I feel like I'm not your favorite. I'm just your grandma's favorite.
Oh, just wait. Just wait until your own kid comes. Wait until how you feel then.
All right.
He's not even kidding, Molly. He's been crying during every break. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light. Vote for Jim, Matt, and Molly as Madison's best radio team every day this month at MadisonMagazine.com.